Podcast. My name is Cody Kelly.
And my name is Neil Huntley.
And this is the first episode of the Reverend Babble Podcast.
This is the pilot episode, boss man.
The pilot episode, man. I've been looking forward to this for a while.
Yeah, and we are live. Well, me and you are live right now.
Yeah, me and you are live.
People on Thursday, they can pretend it's live, but yeah, now we are live in the yesteryear studio. Mm-hmm. I had to look that up later to see if it's copyrighted. If it is, we won't say it again. Sorry if that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
But we
fun.
Are live right now. Later on, we're not. In
yes.
Viva Marsh, Vegas, also known as Marshville, North Carolina, also known as home of the Randy Travis. I'm going to love you forever and ever. Amen. And we are hanging out here. And, you know, Cody, today is a day of first. We are recording the first episode
yes.
of the Reverend Babble Podcast.
Yes, it is.
This is my first time talking into a microphone that is literally less than an inch away from my face. And today is the first day I am wearing Crocs. Cody,
really?
Are you a Crocs guy?
I am honestly not a Crocs guy, honestly. I mean, I'm pretty much a socks and tennis shoes guy. I'll occasionally wear some sandals or flip-flops at the beach or whatever, but I'm pretty much just a straight socks and tennis shoes guy.
Well, I will tell you what, I used to hate on Crocs big time. I just thought they were very ugly shoes. They're one piece of molded rubber, but I am in love right now.
Really?
And by the way, they're real tree camouflage, so my feet look
Ooh.
Like they're hanging out about to get some ducks, and it's a glorious feeling.
I hear you.
So yeah, so I know we already got off on a tangent. By the way, Crocs is not an ad or a sponsor of this show.
No.
Yet. Maybe later. We don't know.
No, not really.
But
it's never going
yeah.
to be because
so,
I hate so, them so,
so
much.
So carry on with your intro, Cody.
Oh, well, thank you, Neil. As you were just saying, this is the first episode of the podcast. It was just an idea that I had maybe a few months ago, and I just came into ran it by you and just asked you if you want to kind of tag along for the ride, and thankfully you said
yeah.
yes.
Yeah, you didn't just ask me. You showed up at my doorstep about it.
Yes,
and
I did.
You were so I don't even know the word to say. You were so secretive about it. I thought something was wrong. You said, "Hey, man, can I come to your house and talk?" I was like, what's going on? I came out with my Bible. I was ready to spit out some scripture for any situation that you might have been going through. And you said, "Hey, you want to do a podcast?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's
yeah.
do it."
Yeah, hey.
We sat there at the front of my garage. It was a beautiful sunny day.
Yes, it was.
You left your Propel there, by the way.
I did?
Yeah, it's still sitting in my garage.
Oh.
You can have it later. I hadn't drank it yet.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate that.
But after that, here we are.
Yeah.
The
first episode, man. I'm really excited to kind of get this thing going. And I guess we'll start off with the first segment of the episode.
Yeah. So usually this first segment we're going to call What's New With You. Right?
Yes.
Just because we're doing this once a week. We record this on Tuesdays. Y'all will be listening for the first time on Thursdays. And so we'll talk about, you know, what the week was for each one of us, things like that. But we figure today, since it's the first ever episode of the Reverend Babble Podcast, that we would just talk about how you and I met. Right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So to give everybody a quick background, I'm a youth pastor at Midway Baptist Church in Wingate, North Carolina. Also where Wingate University is. It is not Wingate University.
No, it is not.
Wingate.
It is Wingate.
Wingate
you...
University. It is W-I-N-G-I-T. Wingate.
Yes.
Right? That's how you pronounce it.
And if you are any kind of, and if you have any sense as a human being, that is what you will call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It is not Wingate.
Yes.
Although I work at, quote, Wingate University as a groundskeeper, I will still call it Wingate University.
There you go.
But, so I'm a youth pastor, and I had my youth group at a church for a new song concert. Now, for all you old school, OG, contemporary Christian music lovers, y'all know who New Song is, right? New Song is awesome.
Yes,
they're
they are
a little
pretty good.
Old school now, but they are awesome. So I had my youth group there, probably about 10 or 12 kids. And Cody was there too, but I didn't know Cody at the time.
No,
but,
you did not.
One of the adults that was there helping me chaperone, Shout out to Jody Charlton real quick.
Yes. Thank you, Jody, for kind of getting this thing all started.
Yeah. So Jody said, hey, Neil, there's a guy here, Cody. He's kind of here by himself. Can he hang out with us? He's old enough to be in the youth group. I said, yeah, come on. And so that kind of sparked that. And then we realized we both liked sports because you had on your Red Sox hat.
I had on my Red Sox stuff.
I had on either a Hornets hat, a Panthers hat, or my Charleston River Dogs hat. So we said, hey.
I'm sure it was probably one of those three. I can't remember.
We're at a Christian concert. We both like Jesus. We're wearing baseball caps. We have to like sports in some aspect.
Obviously.
And so that's how this whole thing got started.
Yes, for sure. And it's like, and honestly, man, whenever I went to that concert, honestly, because what happened was is that my mom just dropped me off because I wanted to go. But I didn't have anybody else to go with, but I really wanted to go. And so I just, she just dropped me off, and I was just kind of hanging out there by myself. I was just planning on just kind of sitting by myself, you know, in the back row, you know, like most people who are alone do, and I have no friends. I'm just kidding. But anyway, so I was just there, and then it's like you said, Jody came up to me, and she asked me if I wanted to come sit with her, and you, and I said yes, and then we met each other, and then I just kind of started coming to the youth group and hanging out with you, and over that time, we've obviously gotten to talk a lot and gotten to know each other a lot more and more, and just mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that was what, like? August of
that had to
year?
Be fall of last year.
Yeah, like I think it was like August.
It was like a back to school kickoff kind of thing.
Yeah,
right? Isn't that what it was?
I think it was something
at,
like that.
At Lakeview Baptist in Monroe, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you, Jody, for helping Cody and I build this awesome friendship that we have now. I knew you were good for something if you're listening to this. Just kidding. Jody's awesome. She's cool.
Yes, for sure. She's definitely cool.
So this is how we met. And it's been great so far, right?
For sure, man.
So we figured that, hey, we like to talk sports, like to talk Jesus. Might as well sit down and record it, and maybe somebody will listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully someone out there in the world is paying attention to what we have to say.
If not, at least my wife and my mother will listen to it.
And
right?
My parents will hopefully listen to this as well.
So, yeah, that's us. That's who we are. Like I said, I'm a youth pastor. I also cut grass for a local university. Cody actually helps out at the university as well.
Yes, I do.
What do you do with the baseball team, right?
Yes, for the past four seasons. Well, if you count this past season that got cut short because of the pandemic and everything like that, I've been volunteering to help out with the Wingate University baseball team. I've just been kind of helping out there with the last 4 years. I've gotten to meet a few of the guys and just talk to them and just kind of getting to know them. A lot of them are Christians too, and just plus the overall interaction of baseball, and I love sports, and just so that by itself was a God thing for sure, and I've been really enjoying that. And so yeah, and so both of us kind of hang out the same places.
That's right.
It seems, yeah.
That's right.
All right. So I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you were probably thinking, why is this called the Reverend Babble Podcast? Man, this is kind of a very unique name for sure.
Yeah, to say the least, right?
Yeah, for sure. So like, obviously, you know, over the course of me talking to Neil about doing this podcast together, and you know, we'll like, you know, about like developing it and different things, you know, different things that were going to be included in it, we were obviously talking about the name that it was going to be. And so we were talking about that, and we were both kind of floating around different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
My idea was kind of igniting the light kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But that kind of seemed more of a well-known kind of more used thing.
Mm-hmm. And I had one called the prize, right? Because, you know, prize of getting salvation and spending eternity with Christ is awesome. It's not just cool.
Oh,
it's
sure,
awesome.
Absolutely.
And then you go for the prize in sports, right?
Right.
But just doing some research, both of those are very common names for podcasts.
Right.
Even if they're not exactly word for word.
Like, even if it's not word for word, it's pretty close.
Yeah, exactly. So we both wanted something that was a little unique, a little different. And so I literally just Googled did some research on scripture that, you know, included talking, or, you know, because we're talking right now, right?
Yes.
And I came across this one. Usually I use the New King James Version of scripture, but I found this out of the ESV, which is the English Standard Version, 2 Timothy 2:16. It says, "But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness." So I figured that if we're supposed to avoid irreverent babble,
we might as well do
reverent babble. That's right. And if you're wondering, well, what in the world does irreverent or reverent mean? I done got on the Googles for you, all three of them. Irreverent, it's an adjective, of course. It's showing lack of respect for people or things that are generally taken seriously. So it's just saying avoid disrespectful talk. Right.
Right.
If you're really meaning what you're saying and meaning hateful feelings are coming with those words, it's not cool, man.
No.
And reverent means feeling or showing a deep and solemn respect, you know, to revere something. So that's what that's talking about. And that's why we landed on the Reverent Babble podcast.
Well, obviously, too, this podcast is, you know, called Reverent Babble, but also down below it's called Scripture and Sports. So mm-hmm. for the scripture portion of this show, which we like to call the double play Devo, is this kind of a time, you know, where we just kind of have a little few minutes and we just talk about something that, you know, that was brought up, or we just had in our minds and we just thought that was good to share with people?
Yeah, absolutely. And we came up with Double Play Devo just now, actually, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We were trying to think of a name for it.
We were thinking of a name up until we literally just started hitting record. And we both wanted to do scripture, and we wanted to do sports, too, so we figured just mesh them all together, right? And Cody came with an idea about what he wanted to talk about today, so I found some scripture, and we're going to go with it. So, you know, if you're alive... If you're listening to this, that means you are alive right now, hopefully.
Yeah.
If you're alive and you're listening, you know that we are in a worldwide pandemic right now. That's old news. That's been going on for probably, 8-9 weeks now?
It's been a while now.
It's been a while. And it's been 8-9 weeks in the U.S. It's been longer in other countries. Yeah. So we all talk about how things are not normal anymore. And for the listeners and talking to you too, Cody, it's not going to be normal ever again. I hate to say it that way. There will be a new normal of things. That life that we had come back, that was Christmas time in 2019, January, February. I mean, that's, you know, we took that for granted. We enjoyed it. But even though we will get a sense of normalcy as this thing progresses and hopefully goes away in the next, you know, several months, unfortunately.
Right.
Things won't be the exact same, so.
Right, and that idea and that concept was just something that was just kind of just coming on my mind, and I heard it around too. It's like, even when this whole pandemic thing kind of slows down and we kind of return to, like you said, some sort of sense of normalcy, it will never be what it was before, in terms of what our normal was before the pandemic started. It's never going to be that same way again, as far as what we consider as normal. And one of the things that obviously a lot of people, I'm sure, think and say to others is, well, I can't wait till this is over so we can kind of get back to normal. But what we know is normal's not really going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. Like, once we are able to go to restaurants and sit down, I mean, you know, the state just as south of us, South Carolina, as of yesterday, that being Monday, you can go in a restaurant, sit down and eat at 50% capacity.
Right.
So they're slowly getting into it. I think we're still in phase one of our reopening in North Carolina.
Yes,
right?
We are. Yeah, and we're still kind of the beginning stages.
Depending on where you are listening to this, you could be reopening way faster than us. You could be still stay at home or shelter in place or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to get some sense of normalcy. But once we get that, it's going to be different. We're going to go to restaurants. There's going to be probably hand sanitizer sitting right beside salt and pepper shakers. Okay. Yeah. There's we're probably for a little while get our temperatures checked if we get to go to a live sporting event. You know?
Oh yeah.
Whenever that does happen, not to get too far into sports, we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a new normal. And the word new scares people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. New comes with the unknown, right?
Right.
So we get in such a routine. You get up. Hopefully you brush your teeth when you get up in the morning. You get up, go to school, go to work. It's part of a routine. On the weekends, if you're lucky enough to have weekends off, you enjoy that time with your family doing whatever you want to do. Anytime there's a wrench thrown into those plans, it throws things off. And some people, it makes them anxious. Some people makes them worried. But new comes with unknown. And unknown sometimes causes fear in people, right?
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. I mean, it's like, at least for me, I mean, it's like there's been a lot of new things that occurred in, you know, occurred during my lifetime, and I'm only 18 years old. You know, it's like going to a new school or going to a new church or just going to just something new that you haven't ever done before. It's just something that can obviously be frightening at times. And obviously with that can just kind of give you that sense of, I'd rather just go back to doing what I was doing, even if it sometimes, in most cases, wasn't the best thing that was going on. It was something you were at least familiar with.
Exactly. And I like that me and you are in two different kind of life stages at this moment. Like, you're 18, finishing up grade school, going to college. I'm out of college, working, and married with a kid. Right.
Right.
So I've experienced some changes here in the past 2 years or so that, you know, I wouldn't say I was scared of, but it's something new that I had to be more aware of. Right.
Right.
And basically I'm saying all this, there's going to be fear. There's been fear, especially in this country the past 2 months, there's been fear. But check out what 2 Timothy 1:7 says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that fear that we feel sometimes, that's not from God. God didn't create us to fear. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is caused by lies that we make ourselves believe. Like, it's not going to be the same that it was. No, it's not. That's a fact.
Right.
We got to get past that, right? It's going to be different. Some things are going to go back to the same. I'm ready for the day that I can get home, you know, hang out, play with my son. We get him down, and then Amber and I, that's my wife, by the way. Hey, Amber, love you. Amber and I sit down and watch a Braves game. You know, Amber, she didn't hate the baseball, but she didn't really care much for baseball before we got married. And I would just have it on the TV while we did stuff. I want to sit down and watch a Braves game so bad right now, but just because it's the Braves. I know you're a Red Sox fan.
Red Sox fan.
But I'm
wearing my Red Sox hat right now.
Exactly.
As we're recording.
I want that sense of normalcy, right? But it makes me a little nervous, a little anxious that we might not get that for, you know, another 8 to 10 months, you know, because we don't know how this thing progresses, right? It throws a wrench into so many plans. But just like it says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we can't fear right now. It's easier said than done, don't get me wrong. But fear is worrying, and worrying is, you know, looking too far ahead. God gives us peace, right? We ask for peace. God gladly gives us peace, and He'll give us our daily doses of peace that we need every day. That's what I ask for in my morning prayer, because we don't have to worry about what's going on tomorrow. We can handle tomorrow when tomorrow's here. There's no need to fear that. We just need to handle right now, because if we're so fearful for tomorrow, aka months down the road, we're not even enjoying what we have right now.
And one of the ways that we can kind of get to that point where we can obviously trust and have that peace and just believe that we can have that peace is obviously, you know, by drawing our relationship closer to God and reading His word. But one of the scriptures I wanted to talk about that kind of highlights that point is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2,
nice.
Where Paul was talking to the Romans, and this is the NIV version. It was just the version that pulled
That's
up.
All right.
And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. that is true to and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Love it.
And what that basically is saying is that we need to transform our minds to what God has called us to do, which is, in a sense, what that new normal is because of this pandemic. Because, like, during this time, God's called us out of what we knew as normal, mm-hmm. and he's leading us into a newer normal, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's like, and one of the ways that we can get to that point is just letting God have his way with us and just drawing closer to him during this time, so that way we can get to that new normal that God wants us to be because of this.
Right. And this is something that we're going through right now that will be in history books when, like, when my son's in middle and high school, later on in life when you are married with a kid, that kid, they're going to see that in history books, and they're going to ask us, how was 2020? Well, son, come here and have a seat. Let me just tell you something real quick.
Oh, I know.
But, you know, there was never told to us that this world was going to be perfect, right? And there was never told to us that once we became believers and followers of Christ, that was going to be perfect either. I found one more scripture real quick. Jesus said in John chapter 16, it's Jesus talking, saying, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. I would say this is, you know, one of those. I'm not saying it's like end times or anything. That's another podcast that you can do later. But
right, but it's a big deal.
Yeah, getting back to what Christ said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So why should we be so worried about what this world is going on when we know the one true God, Jesus Christ himself, has overcome this world, defeated death, and all he does is ask for us to listen to him and tell others about him. So that's what I had for this devotion today.
Awesome, man. That sounds good.
Yeah, man. All right, yeah, so our next segment, final segment for the show, is a sports part. Like I said, we've mentioned several times through this that we love sports. I played sports all through high school, had a chance to go play college, but then unfortunately got hurt and just decided that wasn't my calling. And so, yeah, but we still love sports. Cody is a baseball enthusiast.
I'm a nut for baseball. Anyone who knows me knows that.
This guy knows so many stats, it hurts my head. I don't know how it doesn't hurt his. But since this is a weekly show, a lot happens in the world of sports during the week, even during a worldwide pandemic. A lot happens in the world of sports. And so this segment is called The Weekly Score.
The Weekly Score.
The Weekly Score. We're going to talk about different things that we found interesting in the world of sports from this past week, and where I find a handful of stories to go over, and Cody does too, and we just kind of talk about them for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
all right, Neil, so what do you got?
Yeah, I got some football news for us first. So, you know, last Thursday, to be exact, NFL came out with their schedules.
Yes. Right?
Each NFL team got their schedules. And after that, ESPN put out an article that projected win-loss totals.
Win-losses for every team.
For every team. And I just wanted to go over a few of them real quick. For y'all that know me, y'all know that I am a diehard Carolina Panthers fan.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am. Keep pounding forever. Even in 2015, I grew out my hair until they lost. Yeah, I was in the Charlotte Observer for it, and I was known.
Oh, you were? Really?
Yeah, I was in the sports section of the Charlotte Observer for growing out my hair until they lost.
I did not know that.
I think it got to the 14 to – I think it got to be called the 14-0 fro. And I always joke about that each football season. And Amber is like, if you do that, it will not be beneficial for you or anybody. And I take that as a threat and a promise. So I don't do it. But I'll start off with the Panthers. So ESPN has them predicted at 6-10. Now, that does not sound good at all. But it's fair.
Honestly, I think it's fair for sure. I mean, it's like, I'm not trying to, like, rag on the Panthers or anything like that. But, I mean, think about it. They got the Saints. Obviously, they got Drew Brees, who, as far as stats-wise, is the greatest quarterback of all time, mm-hmm. as far as most passing touchdowns and all that kind of stuff. And then you got Tom Brady, mm-hmm. who just sign with the Tampa Bay Bucks and Gronk, along with the other good players that they already had. So the Saints and the Falcons are both two very competitive teams, and they're going to be, and that's already four out of their 16 games they're going to have to play. And plus the Atlanta Falcons, I think they're going to be a underrated team this year. I think they're going to do pretty good. Well,
yeah, I think so too. And like I said, I was sad to see six in the win column for the Panthers, but I think that is fair. Not that I'm doubting the team that I root for, but I feel like that, you know, if we can get to 6-10, maybe 7-9, that's a great first season for Matt Rhule. I think that's an awesome first season for Matt Rhule.
Oh, absolutely.
And a good test run to see if Teddy Bridgewater is a long-term thing, or is he just a bridge to get to another quarterback later on, a free agency or a draft. I don't know what that – I mean, I'm not bashing that signing. You know, in other circumstances, I would love to have a healthy Cam Newton, but – you know, to get Teddy Bridgewater in there, I'm okay with that.
Right, for sure. And it's funny that his name is Bridgewater, so maybe he is a bridge quarterback.
He might be an actual bridge quarterback, because we could go 6-10, we could go 7-9, we could go 2-14, and I might be pre-ordering my Trevor Lawrence jersey tomorrow for that. another one I want to go over was the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, so you
other
know,
than their change to their logo?
Yeah, well, they're unfortunate change to their logo.
Yeah, no, I don't like it.
Like I said, I'm a youth pastor. I make all our artwork for our lessons. I've made better logos than whoever they hired to make that LA Rams logo, because every time, first glance, it looks like the Chargers logo.
It honestly does. I mean, like,
the yellow horn.
Whenever I look at it from a distance, it looks like the Chargers logo.
It looks
logo.
Like a lightning bolt.
It does.
From a distance, it really does. But the LA Rams are back to their classic St. Louis Rams fashion with good old Jeff Fisher. ESPN has them predicted at the astounding 8-8, which, in my opinion, I would rather have a losing record than go 8-8, because you feel like you achieved nothing. You feel like you just broke even.
Right.
You don't really know what to build off of. I think 8-8 is hilarious.
Right. And it's funny because, as far as that goes, I mean, like, when you're a team, and really all sports, I think if you're on a team, you would rather either have plans like, okay, we're going to be over 500 or below 500. I would rather know I'm going to be below 500 and just kind of take that as it is, rather than just kind of be okay, mediocre, kind of in the middle of the pack.
Exactly. And if they're going to do, if they remain true to this prediction, which, you know, predictions will change and
right.
nobody knows. There are not going to be a lot of full seats in that brand-new stadium they have building in California out there.
Well, I don't think some of the fans are going to show up just because of that terrible new logo.
You never know. But just some other ones I've seen. They have the Buffalo Bills projected to go 12-4 this year.
That's a pretty bold prediction.
12-4 for the Buffalo Bills. And now, granted, they are in the AFC East without Tom Brady, you know.
I know.
So just scrolling through, Miami Dolphins 7-9, New England Patriots 9-7, New York Jets 7-9. So they could go 10-6 and win this division. You know,
yes.
12-4, that's big.
I was about to say, that's pretty bold for the Bills.
Yeah, and I know they got Stephon Diggs in the offseason off a trade.
That is true.
Which
they did.
That was a steal of a trade, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, just to get a weapon for Josh Allen is big time in Buffalo.
Yes.
But they got to get to the playoffs. They got to win a playoff game. But 12-4, that was the biggest thing that came across in this article. In case you were wondering, they got Joe Burrow going 5-11 with the Bengals this year.
Which, honestly, that's what they should expect. I mean, it's like, he's a rookie quarterback. I know he had set 100 different records for college football for a single season. And I know he's a good quarterback, but I think that's an absolutely fair prediction. I mean, still, he's a rookie NFL quarterback, just trying to see how things go. And plus, that whole staff's just kind of has to get used to.
Oh, yeah. That whole staff was brand new last year.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that whole coaching staff was brand new, so it really wasn't a major surprise that they didn't do so great last year. But hopefully with Joe Burrow, they'll be a little bit better, and I think they will.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Absolutely. And just continue on with some football news. If you've, you know, if you listen to sports talk radio, wherever you're at, I know one of the things has been talking about, the Chicago Bears did not pick up Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option.
Yeah, I know. And, yeah, I heard that, and I was honestly kind of surprised. I'm not saying that they should have, like, obviously should have, but I think Trubisky was a good enough quarterback to where they should have at least considered
Oh yeah,
keeping him around
because that was that would still be on rookie deal, right?
Right,
so
for sure.
Be a little bit cheaper. I mean, he was what, pick number three? Was it three?
I know he was pretty high in the draft by the Bears.
They traded up to get him.
Right.
Minus, you know, granted, Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes were still on the board when they picked him. I'm not bashing Mitch at all. But when you put him up beside Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes, who's on top of that list?
Pat Mahomes.
Exactly. You know.
And then Watson's right below that.
But I knew something might come up when they traded with Jacksonville and got Nick Foles.
Well.
That was a little peculiar.
Well, I think for the Bears system, I think he's a good fit for their system. I mean, Nick Foles isn't the most mobile quarterback, and the Bears have a pretty good running game with Tariq Cohen and, and obviously there's a lot of potential there. And of course, there's also the possibility that they may trade it for Foles just so they can have an opportunity for him to kind of teach Mitch Trubisky and kind of mentor him a little bit, or just to give him some competition to make him play better.
And this is what threw me for a loop. So I found this story on Pro Football Talk. Okay. The headline says Bears GM, and that is Ryan Pace, if you didn't know that. Bears GM not picking up Trubisky option, quote, "We believe in Mitch."
My question is, if you believe in him, why didn't you pick up the option?
Exactly. If he's saying we believe in Mitch by saying we believe that if we say we're not picking up your option, this is your prove it year, and he goes off, and then they sign him to a big deal, fine.
Right.
But it's very, you know, it doesn't look good when you don't pick up your top three or whatever he was draft pick, his rookie deal, and then expect him to perform well this season.
Right.
But it's just crazy to me because I could also see Mitch saying, okay, I got pressure on me, let me go off. You know, he doesn't have to like win a Super Bowl or anything. He just has to have a really good year of stats. And then he gets his ginormous deal, and then what if he goes right back to how he was? You know, I'm not trying to sit here and bash Mitch Trubisky. I have a bias towards him because he played at University of North Carolina. Go Tar Heels, right?
Yeah.
I think if he would have not have been under Marquise Williams, thanks a lot, Larry Fedora, for that, he would have had more time to develop, and he would maybe a little bit better in the NFL if he wouldn't run the second string behind Marquise all those years. But if you believe in Mitch and you're doing this to push him, go for it, but it doesn't make sense on the surface. Now, later on, it might.
Right.
Getting back to the Panthers, last week, they officially signed Derrick Brown to a 4-year, $23.6 million deal. That's amazing.
Okay, honestly, I think that's a really good deal for Derrick Brown. And overall, I know the Panthers defense really needs some help, obviously, overall, because, you know, they lost a couple of defensive linemen. Luke Kuechly obviously retired. So, really, and obviously James Bradbury's no longer there either. So, like, a lot of the core, the defense for the last few years is gone. But in my personal opinion, I think they should have drafted Isaiah Simmons at number 7.
All right, tell me why they should have drafted Simmons at 7.
Because he's versatile.
Okay.
I know he's from Clemson, so obviously, that's not my full reason.
Right.
But I mean, he'd be playing close. But my main reason, he's versatile. He can play linebacker. He can play corner. He can play safety. He can play pretty much every position other than end or tackle. He can pretty much play any level of the defense except defensive line.
Right. And I see your point. He can play multiple positions, but guess what? He can only play one position at a time.
I know that. But maybe for his first year, because it's not like the Panthers are going to be a playoff contender. You can kind of find out where he fits best at.
That's true.
And then kind of put him in there and then fill in the other holes as they come in later drafts or free agency.
Right. And at first, my initial reaction was I wanted Simmons. You know, we watched him play. I watched Tar Heels play football. I watched Clemson play football. I'm not a Clemson fan per se, but if they're on, I'm going to watch them because I enjoy how they play football.
Right, same.
They run down your throat, and they smack you in the mouth on defense, and it's awesome. So, at first I wanted Simmons, and I was a little upset. But Derrick Brown makes sense, okay? The Panthers were awful on run defense last year.
That is true.
And Luke Kuechly, you know, usually he is all over the ball. He's all over everybody. If you go back and watch film from last season, Luke Kuechly had an offensive lineman on him almost every play. You know what that means? The defensive line was not doing their job. They were not getting in the way of the OL to get to the linebacker. I know I only played in high school, but part of being on the offensive line is you got to get through the defensive line to get to the linebacker so that linebacker does not chase down your running back.
Okay? Right.
Panthers were not very good on run D. This guy feels that need immediately. Not saying he's going to be an immediate success. He's got a lot to learn. All rookies have a lot to learn. But this was an awesome draft pick. This was an awesome draft by the Panthers.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
First time since, what, the Super Bowl era started that it's all defensive picks?
All defensive draft, which honestly, I was a little surprised they didn't go offense, but I understand why they went all defense because they really need help on
defense. Yeah, and, you know, I listen to Sports Talk Radio from Charlotte, you know, every day when I'm sitting on the mower, and, you know, they talked to Coach Rhule, and he said that they had some offensive guys on their board, but they might have been taken, or another defensive guy that they really wanted was still there, so they took him. So I don't blame him one bit for this draft. And just one little quick note, I won't talk about the Panthers every single week, but this has just kind of helped to get the ball rolling and to get me used to talking about sports too. Carolina Panthers, according to WCNC Charlotte, that's NBC Charlotte, Carolina Panthers eyeing Charlotte property for possible new stadium. Now, if you know the Charlotte, uptown Charlotte area, right on the outskirts on the other side of 277, which is the loop that goes around uptown Charlotte, there is a Charlotte Pipe Foundry. It's a big company's been around forever. There's a division in Monroe as well.
Yeah.
They're moving their headquarters to Locust, which for people around here, they know where Locust is in Stanley County.
Like from here, it's like, what, like
maybe
a half hour,
20
maybe?
Minutes maybe.
Yeah.
But that's big for Charlotte Pipe to be leaving Charlotte, right?
Right.
But that is a huge property, and it's maybe a mile from Bank of America Stadium now. And David Tepper has been hinting at a new stadium ever since he became owner. You know, they've already signed that deal to have that ginormous facility down in South Carolina in York County, which is going to be, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I really hope if they do build a new stadium and not just renovate Bank of America Stadium, I hope they keep it in Charlotte, just because that's part of the atmosphere of being uptown, going to the games. You know,
right?
Going back out to uptown to all the restaurants and stuff after the game. I get the argument we need to have it away from uptown because there's parking would be better, right?
Right.
But it's just part of the atmosphere. I love going uptown to Charlotte to go to games, and I would love to take my son when he's old enough to a brand new stadium that is in uptown Charlotte. Hopefully it's if it's not a dome, it's a retractable dome so we can actually get some big events here like the Final Four, like the Super Bowl, like a WrestleMania, things like that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So that's what I found. I know that's just an introductory about maybe that might be the property. I've been preaching for this ever since Tepper said he wants a new stadium, and ever since Charlotte Pipe said they're moving to Stanley County, I was like, please, go get that property yesterday. Do it.
Right. It's like all the stars aligned for this to happen.
Exactly. So if that works out, I'll be very happy. So what you got, Cody?
Well, in other news other than football news, as you know, I'm more of a baseball guy. For those who know me know I'm more of a baseball guy. Not that I don't like football, it's just personal preference, I guess. And for the MLB draft this year, because of the pandemic and, you know, shortened season and suspended season for college, they are going to shorten the MLB draft from the 40 rounds like it normally is to only 5 rounds this year.
That's a big cut.
It is definitely a major cut in the draft, but there were some things also that said that teams could draft as many undrafted free agents as they wanted for $20,000.
Yeah.
So it's not like they wouldn't be only to draft 5 players or only have 5 players per year, but they can only have 5 quote-unquote draft picks.
And that's just for this draft, right?
That is only for 2020. Yes. I mean, like, only for this draft, and it's just because of the whole pandemic thing that's going on. Yeah. I guess they just didn't want to have it be the normal 40-round draft just because there's 30 teams in 40 rounds. So that's 1,200 players, plus I'm sure some undrafted free agents that would be signed as well.
Right, and, you know, from – from a surface standpoint, you know, I love baseball. You really love baseball.
Yes, okay? I do.
So I don't really pay attention to the draft unless, you know, unless the Braves are picking. I don't see where every other person goes. MLB draft doesn't get as much coverage as the NBA draft, NFL draft, even the NHL draft.
Right.
Doesn't get, because it's 40 rounds long. That's yeah, a it's long really draft. Long. But it makes sense because the farm system. Right.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the major things that's going to be affected is the farm systems. Now, obviously, teams can draft as many undrafted free agents as they want. But if you look at the stats for how many 6th to 10th round picks get paid, they still get paid like $100,000+ right. for a season. So in terms of their yearly wages, they're going to be getting a big pay cut.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, because of the shortened season, the minor league season is going to be in jeopardy too, because like especially for teams that are kind of were on the verge of being moved or relocated, because for those of you who don't know, the minor league baseball teams are like teams that are under one major league affiliate. Mm-hmm. So you'll have like 5 or 6 different levels right. of minor league for one team. Well, the thing is those teams move in around all the time because either financial reasons or someone just bought them out.
Yeah, like the Pelicans down in Myrtle Beach. They used to be the Braves. They were the Rangers. And are they still the Cubs team now?
They are the Cubs team now. Mm-hmm. And for stuff that's around here, the Kannapolis Intimidators are no longer the Kannapolis Intimidators. They're the Kannapolis...
Was that the Cannonballers?
The Cannonballers, yes. Yeah, they're the Cannonballers because they just got purchased by someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a new stadium and everything for the Cannonballers this year. So just from that perspective, it's going to be a heavy cut into not only individual player salary for the season, but also to the teams as well. Like, especially to the farm teams, for sure, because it's not like farm teams get a lot of major attendance anyways.
Right, exactly. So what else you got for us?
Oh, now this is big, though. This is really big. A few days ago, the president of the NCAA, you know, the number one college athletic association in the country, said that fall sports would not happen unless college campuses opened back up.
All college campuses?
For the major Division I college campuses, yes.
Wow.
They would not have any fall sports, so no football, no early basketball, or anything like that. They would not have any college fall sports until the colleges opened back up. Now, he didn't say they had to be to full capacity,
right?
But you kind of get the idea.
Exactly.
You know.
And from a sports standpoint, it's terrible.
Oh, absolutely.
From a financial standpoint, that's awful.
Oh,
that's a lot of money lost if they do not have a football season in major, you know, Power Five conferences.
From a financial standpoint, it's terrible. I mean, you think about the actual schools, but then you think about television contracts, and just coaches' contracts. I mean, all pretty much anything that involves finances and these sports are going to be lost.
Yeah, and that's funny that you say that. They were talking on Sports Radio with Charlotte today that they heard that the Pac-12 has plans to potentially only play conference games, only play within the Pac-12. Which
now that's big though, because a lot of how coaches schedule non-conference games, they try to get the best in.
Exactly. Which, my personal opinion, the Pac-12, who cares? They're overhyped. Every team that they have is always overhyped. Basketball, football, whatever. Stay on the West Coast. Do your own thing. I don't watch your games because they come on at 10 o'clock at night.
That is true.
But on a serious note, that makes sense to maybe just play conference if they need to. People are freaking out because, oh, this is a change. No, it won't change it forever. This is like hopefully just a one-year deal.
Right, and for all the news that we've talked about today as far as the changes like the MLB draft and the NFL draft being different this year and the NCAA and all these different changes, I really hope all this is just one-year fixes just because of the situation that's going on.
Absolutely. Right, and, you know, that's for D1 schools. For D2 schools, like Wingate.
Oh, that's a major hit.
Yeah, it's terrible, man.
Yeah, it's a terrible
hit. I mean, you know, I'm on the grounds crew there, so not only do I cut grass or help, you know, mow the yards around campus, we paint the football field during football season. And, you know, as taxing and as labor-heavy of a job that is, I love doing that. And, you know, that's just me saying I'm going to miss painting the football field. But that's going to be a big hit to D2 schools.
For sure. I mean, yeah. 100% definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but like, you know, but like just one more topic to kind of end this little weekly score portion of the show is Zion Williamson.
Yeah, that was big news this week, wasn't it?
Oh, I know. It was really big news. He's having to make a bunch of statements about some deals that he made to kind of bring him to Duke. He got some deals with Nike and Adidas and just other
and bribes. See, the Adidas part doesn't make sense to me because Duke's a Nike school, right? So I don't understand what Adidas would gain from him going to Duke if this is all true.
Maybe they were just planning for whenever he went to the pros. Maybe he just signed a contract with them.
Maybe. I don't know. But then, you know, the NBA's main sponsor now is Nike as well.
Well,
I mean,
true.
Maybe they just wanted him to have an Adidas shoe deal once he got to the NBA. But, you know, my bias in sports, as I like the Tar Heels, I want to go, oh, Duke got in trouble. Oh, Zion got in trouble. But, no, I'm not like that. And, you know, a younger me probably would, you know, poke fun about it. But, you know, this doesn't make much sense to me right now. You know, the NCAA is starting to try to encourage players to
get paid
off their likeness.
Get paid off their likeness, meaning for the old college football or basketball video games.
Right, exactly, which I want back really bad. I had to get out of my old Xbox to play, you know, NCAA 14 and all that stuff. But anyway, I don't see a big problem in it yet. I don't see a big issue in it yet. Now, is it breaking the rules right now? Simple? Yes.
Right.
That's right. But this is something that the NCAA is wanting to encourage the players to do, is to take deals off their likeness while they're in college.
While they're in college and get paid while they're in college.
And
yeah.
It looks like this came about during a lawsuit when he was switching like agencies or something like that. Is that what that's about? So
yeah, it was something like that.
I think there's more to the story. I think this was just a grab headline that said, hey, let's put this out there because nothing else is happening right now.
That's kind of what it feels like, honestly. But, you know.
That's about all I have to say about it because that's all that I have seen so far.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously when there's like a bunch of things saying, like, you know, like a bunch of media platforms saying something about a star like him. I mean, like, obviously he was an NBA rookie this year, was injured, but he's been a stud ever since
his first game was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I mean, it's like, and he's gotten better and better.
And I was a Zion hater when he was at Duke because he played for Duke. I can't, you know, I mean, I admitted, yeah, he's an awesome player, but I couldn't cheer for him. He's a Blue Devil. I couldn't do that to myself. That would be blasphemous in the eyes of Tar Heel Nation, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. But, well, I guess this is going to be the end of the first episode of the podcast. I've really enjoyed this so far.
Dude, this has been fun. I know, you know, we try to shoot for about 30, 40 minutes. We went a little over today, but, you know, we had a good time. This is a learning experience for the both of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People that know us know that we like to talk. We like to be social. And maybe next time we'll try to keep it within 30, 40 minutes. If not, we maybe can make it a 45-minute deal. But either way, this has been awesome, man. I'm really glad that we're able to do this.
Oh, sure thing, man. I've really enjoyed all this talking and just hanging out with you, man. We talked about ourselves, talking about looking forward to what's ahead and normal and just various different sports topics, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and we're going to do this every week, right?
Every week. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, so we record these on Tuesdays, and we release these on Thursdays. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify, Google Podcasts.
Anchor. Radio Public, and I believe Breaker.
Breaker, yeah, that's right. And so we're on basically everything, almost anywhere you can get podcasts, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so especially on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on there, subscribe, please.
Yes, please.
That helps us show up more on news feeds and things like that. Leave us a review. Please, 5 stars, please.
Yes.
Just be honest with us. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what you would like for us to talk about. Give us feedback on the reviews.
And to leave different voice messages for us to hear, you can go on anchor.fm/reverentbabble. There's a spot where you can leave us some voice messages and obviously give reviews and other things about the podcast. Plus, you can find all of our all of our episodes we'll be posting are going to be listed there.
Yeah, exactly. And other ways for you to get into contact with us, we set up an email account that, you know, if we ever ask questions for you to interact, you can email us on that. If you have feedback on the episode that you just want to send on a private email, you can do that. Or if you just have, you know, just want to say, hey, we will reply. It'll be either me or Cody replying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To that. You can email us at reverentbabble@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. We just started the Twitter account yesterday, right?
Yes, we did.
We're at Reverent Babble. Keep it simple, right?
Keep it simple and sweet.
Yeah, and thank you for the ones that have followed it so far and supporting it that way.
Yes. Yes. Yes, thank you, Mom and Dad. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and thanks to my buddy James that followed it as well and some other notable Panther fans that I've kept in contact with on Twitter. You can also follow me on my personal Twitter account. Basically, do the same thing. Talk about Jesus. Talk about sports. You can reach me at Neil Huntley, all one word. You'll see it's a picture of me, my son Graham, and my smoking hot wife Amber.
There you go. You
can also find Cody on Twitter. Cody, are all these numbers, are they significant, or are they like your coordinates in case the Russians have to track you down, or what is it?
Okay, to be 100% honest with you, I honestly threw together this account in like 2 minutes because I just really just wanted to get a Twitter account. So I just went with the default thing that they gave me. I promise I'll change it later, but I promise by the next episode I'll have it changed.
Yeah, but right now it's at Cody Kell, so that's CodyKell 6982184. Are those Powerball numbers? Is that what you got off the lottery ticket? I'm still confused.
Well, it's like I said before, I honestly just wanted to just get this account up and running. Honestly, it's okay. I can take the hate for that because I'm honestly sad that that's what that ended up being.
Well, don't be sad because it'd only be sad if you couldn't change it, but you can change it, and I'll show you how to do it once we get off here. But with that being said, that's how you can reach us. Subscribe, share it. Once we get this out, share it to your friends. Hopefully they like it too. And like I said, this is only the first episode. So, you know, we may have said some things that didn't make much sense. We may have rambled a little too much, but we're going to get better at this. This
oh, yeah,
is a
we'll
learning experience.
To,
like I said, today is a day of first. I mean, I got on Crocs today. Okay. Don't forget, I'm a Crocs guy now.
Which I still don't like. I'm sorry.
Thou shalt not judge, Cody.
Well, that is true.
But y'all take care.
Please forgive me, Jesus.
Y'all have a great week, and we will see y'all next time. Bye.